Tonight, I want to preach a message. I've preached it before some years ago, but there's another message that goes with it, and I thought it would be best to preach both of them. And I'd like you to turn. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, and see what the Lord Jesus says here to his disciples and to us. And then we'll go back and get some history that we might remember the reference here that's made. In Luke chapter 9, verse number 49, "And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name." This is John, the brother of James. "And we forbade him." We said, quit that. "Because he followed not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us." And we still need to remember that. If someone's not against us, they're for us. And I think that we can get from this that we don't have to go out looking for enemies. It's not our job to look for enemies. And that'll become more clear here as we go into the message. "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up," Jesus, "he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." And so I don't understand the detail about that, how that could be his face set towards Jerusalem. I guess it was in his behavior, but it was known. It was known that he was set for that. "And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans." Okay, so in Samaria, there were the part Jew, part Gentile people are that come. That whole situation is a mess from the days of Israel falling and then what the king of Assyria did in bringing in folks from far lands and mingling with the people and everything. "And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him," the Samaritans of that city didn't, "because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem." So there's something about him, his manner. It's talking about his countenance, how they look on him. He's passing through, okay? And they're offended by that. Gerizim is the mount that they worship in. We can know that by the woman at the well that Sychar said, you say Jerusalem, we say this mount. "And when his disciples, James and John," okay, sons of thunder, right, Zebedee's sons, "saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias or Elijah did? How about we just scorch them, Lord? God, burn them down." "But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of." You don't know the manner of spirit that you're of. You are of a particular spirit, but you don't know the manner. You don't know the behavior. You don't know the leadership. You're of a spirit, but you don't know and understand it. Him. "For the Son of Man, his example is not come to destroy men's lives." This is the manner of the Spirit that you're to be of, "but to save them." And they went to another village. The Lord Jesus, in parallel with this, had told and sent out the 12 and even sent out the 70 and had instructed them, or will instruct them, does instruct them, to enter into cities and enter into houses. And when they're received, enjoy that fellowship, preach Him, preach the kingdom. But those households and those cities that would reject Him, shake off the dust. And the Lord would account that. That would be accounted in the judgment. He didn't tell them to do anything like the zeal of James and John are indicating here. And see, and they're already, no doubt, I think that we can know this. I believe that we can know this. They're already edgy about the Samaritans. Because that's the culture of the day for the full-blooded Jew, is they don't like the Samaritans. They don't want to associate with the Samaritans. They're part Jew, but that part Gentile that they are offends them. And so ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. And so they reference Elijah. And so let's go back and take a look about Elijah in 1 Kings 18. Be reminded, I trust you know these accounts, and we'll not spend a lot of time to review them, but there's Ahab is king in the land of Israel, and he and Jezebel are just wicked, wicked, wicked. There's a drought in the land. It's in its third year. The Lord says it's time. Elijah, 1 Kings 18, go show yourself to Ahab. He goes to Obadiah. Obadiah is sent out on a mission from the king to go look for water. And Elijah says, Obadiah, you go tell Ahab that I'm here. I'm going to see him today. Obadiah says, don't you value my life? I value my life. If I go tell him, the Spirit of the Lord's going to carry you off because they've been looking for you hither, thither, and yon. They've certified from kingdoms that you are not there, from taking an oath of kings. And just as sure as I go tell him, you're not going to be here, and it's going to cost me my life. Haven't you heard that when Jezebel began to cut off the priests of God, I hid 100 of them and have fed them for so long? What's your... Elijah says, go tell him. I'll see him today. Ahab's greeting of Elijah is one of contempt, as it is. In verse 17, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Ahab speaking to Elijah. And Elijah tells it straight and said, no, I've not troubled Israel, but you and your daddy's house and your wife and all the wickedness following after another god, Balaam, rather than Jehovah God. Elijah makes the challenge. He challenges the people about halting between two opinions. He says, if the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal be God, follow him. And so the challenge is put down to gather together the priests of Baal, 450, along with the 400 that are serving the grove. The 450 here are what's focused upon. And let's have a sacrifice. Let's have a sacrifice. And so they made an altar. They picked out a bullock. They dressed it. And the priests of Baal cried and wailed and did and enchanted and begged and pleaded all day long. All day long. He mocked them. Elijah did. He mocked them. Was it right for Elijah to mock them? There's no rebuke. But he's the prophet of God, and he's sent to do this work, and he mocked them concerning their God, because everything that he said about their God was true. He's missing in action. He mocks them by saying he's talking. You just can't get his attention, or he's pursuing, he's off doing something, or he's on a journey, or he's sleeping, and you got to wake him up. And so they cut themselves and did all that, all the way to the evening sacrifice, late in the day, and nothing had happened. Elijah rebuilds the altar, orders it, 3 times 4 barrels of water poured on it, with that trench dug around it, fills up the trench, and then he calls upon God. And fire from the Lord falls from heaven and consumes the sacrifice, verse 38, the wood, the stones, the 12 stones representing the 12 tribes, the dust, and the water that was in the trench, just like that. And Elijah told him, gather up those 450. Don't let them escape, verse number 40. And bring them down here to the brook, because we're going to put them to death, because they have worked and wrought folly in Israel. That's the command of the Lord to the nation. They were false prophets, false priests. So that's a work of Elijah. Is there anything wrong with it? No. That's what the Lord called him to do. That's what the Lord called him to do. We have also an account here in 2 Kings chapter 1. Ahab dies and his son begins to reign. And Ahab is killed in battle. Ahaziah begins to reign, and he falls down through the lattice there in one of the in where he lives, and he's injured, and so he tells his messengers and the right hand men to go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, if my memory serves me correctly, Philistine, and find out if he's going to recover or not. The Lord sends Elijah along the way as those men are going and said, is there not a God in Israel that you wouldn't inquire of him? There is a God in Israel. But then you go to a false God, you go to the devil himself to inquire about that. And they return back and Ahaziah asked, so why have you come back? And said, we were met by this hairy man with a leather girdle on him, and he said what he said about, is there not a God in Israel to inquire of? You go inquire of him, of that God, of the Canaanites, rather than God Almighty. He knew it was Elijah, the Tishbite. And he sends a captain with 50 men, and they catch up with Elijah. And as he sat on top of a hill, in verse number 10, he answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And again, Ahaziah sent 50 more, plus the captain. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. The third 50 are sent. And the third captain, verse number 13 of 50, went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him, he begged him, and said unto thee, and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let now my life be precious in thy sight. The correct attitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. So those are the things that James and John are remembering. And they have been apostles for a while, and they've seen the power of the Lord. And they have the example of the Lord in front of them and what the Lord has been doing, what the Lord's been saying, what the Lord's been operating in. But then they remember this in the Old Testament about Elijah, and they want to be like Elijah. They think they have a justified case to be like Elijah. I think that in our day, there's a temptation for men called by God to preach and to pastor that they want to be like Elijah. Now, regarding Elijah's faith, we should be faithful. But the ministry and the calling of Elijah is not what any of us have been called into. Because Jesus says, they bring this up like Elijah did. They mention his name. And the Lord says, you don't know the man or the spirit that you're of. The Son of Man hasn't come to destroy men's lives, but he has come to save them. And you know what you and I are called to do? The same thing. We're following in the same ministry, the same way of our Lord. We don't need to go out looking for enemies. And there are men that and folks that want to look for an enemy. So there are folks that fall into the temptation, they just like having an enemy. We don't need to be looking for enemies. We don't need to be looking for fights. There's an issue there. There's a thing there to understand about misplaced zeal. We need to have zeal for the Lord. Indeed, we do. But it never needs to be to destroy anyone or to have an enemy. We have enemies. We don't have to go looking for enemies. And we don't need to count our success or failure by the number or the few enemies or the great number of enemies that we have. We need to be obedient to our Lord. What is the manner of the Spirit given unto us? The Lord said, you don't know. Well, you and I, we need to know. We need to know. And I think it's summarized in two of my most favorite passages. I'm telling you that I do not say that I have attained to this, but I think this is what we need to seek to attain to. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 15, the scripture here speaks about all things that are given unto us that pertain unto life and godliness. So we have everything given unto us by the Lord for us to live a godly life with Him and for Him. How? Through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue, knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn about Jesus, more about Jesus. Indeed, it needs to be one of our theme songs. We've been given great and precious promises, verse number 4, that by those promises you and I might be partakers of the divine nature of the Lord. How? Being a partaker of that nature will cause us to escape from the corruption that's in the world through desire, misplaced, misdirected desire. We need to know about Jesus. They had Jesus in front of them and all that He had said and all that He had done. And yet they wanted to be like Elijah rather than being like Jesus. And understand, naturally, you and I naturally do not want to be like Jesus. But our spirit does. The Spirit that lives within us, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God is bent towards the Lord. And we need to be like Him. The flesh doesn't want to be like Jesus. And you watch in your life, because you can take any number of things that in the right order, in the right place that they are, can distract us from following Jesus. We need to be followers of Jesus. What does Jesus think? What would Jesus' answer be? What would Jesus be pleased with in my life? He says here, we need to add some things to our faith. Virtue, verse number 5. Knowledge. Knowledge about who? Knowledge about the Lord and what He says about Himself, about us, about how to live life with Him and for Him. We need to be self-controlled. We need to add to our faith self-control. We need to add to our faith patience. We need to add to our faith godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And we need to add to these charity. We know the love of God by virtue of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. It's the only way that a sinner can know the love of God, is by being saved. And you and I, the manner of the Spirit that we are of is to add these things to our foundational faith in Christ. And John tells us that we that have come to Christ and believe need to keep on believing and trusting in Him and looking to Him. In Galatians chapter 5, we have outlined for us here the fruit of the Spirit, the manner of the Spirit that we are of. And it's interesting what is here. And like I said, there's another message. The Lord willing, I'll preach and bring out some other things related to this. But this is the manner of the Spirit that we are of. The fruit of the Spirit in verse 22 of Galatians 5 is love. One of those things that we're to add. One of those things that we know and yet are to add. Joy. The manner of the fruit of the Spirit, the manner of the Spirit that we are of is joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, continued faith in the Lord, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. For example, we who believe in tithing, we believe that we ought to tithe of what the Lord profits us in life. You know, you can get to the end of your tithe. You can accomplish it. You can be obedient when you get to that point of giving it. You've done it. That's the end of it. I'm not talking about an offering beyond tithing, but there's a law. There's a statement. There is a command. And once you've given 10% of what the Lord's profited you, you've accomplished it. But these, you and I can never accomplish them. We can never fill them. There's no end to them. We can never say that we've loved enough. We can never say that we've been self-controlled enough. We can never say that our power has been under control. The ability, the talents that the Lord has given us are controlled to Him enough. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples when they wanted their faith increased? He said, when you've done what you've been told to do, say, we are unprofitable servants. We've done that which is our duty to do. We can never accomplish our service to the Lord to requite Him. Would you want to be able to get to the end of it? How great is the salvation that the Lord has given unto us? We can. So what we need to do is live for Him in everything and pursue. The fruit of the Spirit, there is no law. There is only liberty and freedom to continue on in them. That is the manner of the Spirit that we are of. So, with this being the case, our Lord commands us to do things like this. In the Beatitudes, in Mark chapter 5, verse number 9, in a world in which there is no peace, the Lord says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Not fire callers down from heaven. Not a destroyer of men's lives, but looking to their benefit before God. Continuing on in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 43, the Lord said, you've heard it said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Verse 44 of Matthew 5, but I say unto you, love your enemies. You know, that's the only way that we can do so. Not call down fire from heaven on them, but love them. Bless them that curse you. You ever been cussed out? Bless them. Ask the Lord to help them. And not so in a conceited way, in a conceited heart, but out of a true desire for them to turn from the wicked way that they are pursuing. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. It's only by this Spirit, this manner of the Spirit that we are of. Remember what Jesus said when he was crucified? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the manner of the Spirit that the Lord is and that we are to be, that we are of. He says you need to be this way and follow these things, verse 45 of Matthew 5, that ye may be the children of your Father, that it would be known, those are God's children. Boy, they behave in a way that just does not make sense. That's the manner of the Spirit that we are of, and that's in that the Lord calls us to these things. For he maketh, the Lord makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, those that curse him and those that bless him. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. He tells us in Luke chapter 6, verse number 35, to verse number 27, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. To pray for those that would abuse us. To pray that the Lord would touch them and help them, forgive them. In verse 35 of Luke 6, love your enemies and do good, lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. We'll be found in a place of faith in doing these things, and ye shall be the children of the highest. It'll be known that we are his children. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil, and you and I are to be so too. That's not natural, is it? That's the manner of the Spirit that we are of. Peter is a numbers man. Brother Peter, he's like me. He wants to know where the boundary is. And he goes to the Lord in Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22, and he says, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven's good, isn't it? Seven work. The Lord Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven, 490 in a day. I forget how many minutes between each that is of our waking minutes. Our Lord Jesus, in this manner of the Spirit that we are of, he commands such even to us in his churches. He tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ. Our Lord Jesus was neighbor to us and showed compassion to us when we had no ability to help ourselves. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Galatians 6:4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. We have our own burdens to bear, but we need to bear one another's burdens too. That's part of the fellowship that we have in the Lord's church, kind of church. In verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, but especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The manner of the Spirit we are of. In Hebrews 10, verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's our provoking doesn't need to be wrath, unto wrath and anger and calling down fire from heaven, vengeance, but to provoke to love and good works. And in 2 Thessalonians, Brother Paul writes to that church, and there in Achaia, or in modern-day Greece, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Listen, yet count him not as an enemy. So this is even when there is a disunity and walk in the church. He says, don't count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. In Matthew 18:17, the Lord gives a charge regarding those that have personal offenses. And if it goes up to the point that that the church has to be told about it to decide, because that's what the context is. And if he shall neglect to hear them, the witnesses, tell it unto the church, verse 17 of Matthew 18. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Ah, there you go. That's when we can shun him. That's when we can shut him. No. Remember what the Lord said? Preach the gospel to every creature. You know what a heathen is? It's an unbeliever. You know what a publican is? A publican was a tax collector that was a traitor to the Jewish nation. We're to be a good witness of good things in Christ unto them. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 23 through 24, he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but let every man seek another's wealth. The manner of the Spirit we are of. Brother Peter, he writes in 1 Peter chapter 3, and this is church context, even though this would be a general epistle. Peter's a church man, and he writes here in verse number 8, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing, and we are going to do so, aren't we? We'll live eternally together with our Lord. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile, no deception. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it, the manner of the Spirit we are of. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He's watching us. And his ears are open unto their prayers. He's hearing us. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? If we do and follow what the Lord has given us to follow, what his example is to us, know the manner of the Spirit that we are of and operate in that. Seek to save men's lives. Jesus is the Savior. But we are the means and the witness unto sinners. Seek to be an edifier of our brothers and sisters in Christ, not one that would tear down. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 25, wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. He wants to see nothing but confusion in the churches. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Don't swear. Don't curse. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Don't speak evil and vehemence of folks. Proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, let that come out of our mouths, that it may minister grace, gifts unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, because that's what we do when we sin. Whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, revenge. And be ye kind one to another, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. The manner of the Spirit we are of. So the Lord turned when John made that declaration, how about we do the Elijah thing fire from heaven. Let's just burn up this town. They don't want to receive you, and that's not right. They had zeal for the Lord. But they didn't understand about following the witness of the Spirit that they were of, that was in front of them, Jesus. They wanted to hail back to the days of the Old Testament and Elijah. That was for that time, the Lord dealing with His nation. It was not for this time, when the Savior showing us about grace and truth and the mystery of God, the mystery of salvation, the mystery of the Savior and Messiah, the mystery of the angel of God, the mystery of His church and the calling of His church into the saving, calling and saving of the Gentiles. They didn't know the manner of the Spirit that they were of. And if we follow our flesh, we won't either. But let us hear the instruction of our Lord. He turned. Evidently they were beside Him or behind Him. And He rebuked them and said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives." This is our work and our Lord's continuing work. The Lord's work continues. And we are in it. Supposed to be in it. We are in it. And He said He didn't come to destroy, but to save. To save men's lives or any aspect of their lives. We are still in the time of our Lord's work in this way today. We're still there. That's still the work. Jesus isn't here physically, but this is the work until He says it changes. One day it will change. But right now it hasn't changed. And this is the manner of the Spirit that we are of. I want you to turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I think that this is a passage as well as the others. But I think this is a good passage that sums it up. It sums it up. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ." The accounting has been made to where we can be with in Him, He in us. It's reconciled. Our sins are paid. The adoption is complete. The forgiveness was accomplished nearly 2,000 years ago, and it's been manifested in us here in the day of our life when the Lord came and saved us. "And hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation." So this is the ministry, His ministry, is our ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them," and in regards to requiring it of us, "and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." We have this word, His words. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us." He speaks to this church at Corinth. We are to be so to one another and into the world. "We pray you in Christ's stead." Christ Jesus is not here physically, but He is in us. And our ministry declares, we declare in that ministry of Christ that we are involved in, "Be ye reconciled to God." Be reconciled to God. Not call down fire from heaven. But be reconciled to God. Because remember, He hath made Him to be sin for us, the Father has, He made him to be sin for us, Jesus. The Father has made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus. I love this in Mark chapter 16, how the Gospel of Mark finishes up. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. And as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 9, for we, because we are laborers together with God, a ministry of reconciliation, the manner of the Spirit that we are of, ye are God's husbandry. He's walking around in the midst of us, working, pruning, feeding, caring for. Ye are God's building for His church. We're His kind of church. May the Lord help us that we know, that we pursue, that we learn, and we live in the manner of the Spirit we are of.